Come with me and let's walk the streets of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus Christ. We stop and we see a Pharisee, and we're going to ask him a question. Hey, what is the kingdom of God? Now, there are different religions. We know there are Pharisees, there are Sadducees, there are others. There are a lot of non-religious Jews walking the streets of Jerusalem as well. But we find a Pharisee and we say, what is the kingdom of God? And he said, oh, the kingdom of God. Well, that's that world ruling government that's coming, you know, based on the book of Daniel chapter 2, where the Bible says, and in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. It will be given to the saints. It's an everlasting kingdom. Oh, yeah, he says, and the other prophecies show that Israel, you know, right now we're under the Romans. They tax us too much. They dominate us. We have to give treasures to the Roman government. We are under them. They kill us sometimes. And they get mad, and, you know, they don't let us have all of our freedoms exactly, but we hate them. But, you know, one of these days, and we think that the kingdom is going to come, and we think it could be in our time because this is the fourth kingdom. And the fourth kingdom is Rome, and we believe that God's going to intervene. And Israel will be at the top of the nations, because that's the prophecy. And everything will be made well. He says, you know, the enthronement psalms, Psalm 95, Psalm 96, they talk about the eternal will reign. The eternal will reign, and the mountains will clap, the rivers will be rejoice, all the things will be happy in those days, because God will reign and God's kingdom will be here. So the kingdom of God is when God sets up his world-ruling government over all the nations. I said, we ask him a question. Hey, now, do you know about this man, Jesus from Nazareth? Oh, yeah, he said there's a lot of talk about him. Does he ever talk about the kingdom of God? Oh, yeah, he mentions it. But, you know, he talks about it. He says it's the good news. It's the good news about the kingdom. But, you know, we knew about the kingdom before he ever brought it up. We know about the kingdom of God. But he says it's good news because the kingdom of God is at hand. And he talks about that you can enter it. And he says that's good news. We don't quite understand all of his parables. He says, when he talks about some people and when he heals, he says to some people, the kingdom of God has come near you. And, you know, that's sort of mysterious. One of our Pharisees, you know, his name is Nicodemus, he was listening, he went to Jesus, and he says that Jesus says that unless you're born again. Now, Nicodemus couldn't understand that. He said, well, how do you got to be born? How many times can you be born? You know, you can't get back into your mother's womb and be born again. So Nicodemus didn't quite understand it. And he said that Jesus tried to tell him, that it was about being born of the Spirit. Now that phrase can mean also born from above. And he said, Jesus is talking about that. And Jesus told him that whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. And that the Spirit goes where it wants to. You can't see it. So, you know, all these things are sort of mysterious. The guy has really evidently done some miraculous things. But we Pharisees are a little suspicious of him because he's critical of some of our traditions. Yes, we know what the kingdom of God is. But this guy, you know, he's coming with the good news of it, and we don't know where it's going. But one thing he doesn't talk about, Jesus almost never talks about Israel being at the top of the nations. He never talks about the great prosperity when the kingdom of God comes. He seems to talk about something else, like eternal life. He says, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. And he talks about whoever believes in him will not die but have everlasting life. We never heard such concepts before. That's what you'd find if you'd ask a first century Pharisee who was well up to date of all the happenings around Jerusalem at that time. And so People, some of us, used to think that the gospel had to do with knowing about a world ruling government, and that was the gospel. Well, then that Pharisee knew the gospel. He knew it before Jesus came. If just knowing about a world ruling government coming to earth was the gospel, then that Pharisee and all the Pharisees knew it, because they all knew about the kingdom of God. That was plain from the scriptures. In fact, one scholar wrote it like this. His name was Rudolf Bultmann. He wrote this about Jesus, the way Jesus talked about it. He said, "The dominant concept of Jesus' message is the reign of God." You can call it the reign or the kingdom, the rule, the reign of God. "Jesus proclaims its immediately impending eruption, now already making itself felt. The reign of God is an eschatological concept," meaning the end time concept. "It means the regime of God, which will destroy the present course of the world, wipe out all the contra-divine satanic power under which the present world groans, and thereby terminating all pain and sorrow, bring in the salvation for the people of God, which awaits the fulfillment of the prophet's promises. The coming of God's reign is a miraculous event," the way Jesus wrote, "a miraculous event which will be brought about by God alone without the help of men," end quote. Many of us thought that the gospel was just the knowledge about this kingdom. But I want to tell you, what you heard in last week's sermon, what you hear here, what you're going to hear about the sermons on grace, is the gospel. We are preaching to you the gospel, the good news, the good news. If you've never heard about the grace of God, you are hearing it. And those of you online, if you've never heard about the grace, you're hearing the good news of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul, let me read this to you in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. I'm reading this from the King James Version. It goes like this. Romans 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel," separated to or for the gospel of God. In parentheses, Paul says, "which he had promised aforetime by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." So Paul said, this good news was promised a long time ago. It was promised in the prophets a long time ago. "So I was separated," he says, this is Paul, "I'm servant of Jesus Christ, an apostle separated for the gospel of God." Verse 3, what is that gospel concerning? Verse 3, "concerning his son, Jesus Christ." What's the gospel concerned about? His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's verse 3. That's Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Dropping down to verse 9. I won't read all these verses, but we're dropping down to verse 9. "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son." I serve with my spirit, my whole force, my attitude, in the gospel of his son, "that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers." Dropping down to verse 16, Romans 1, verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation, unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, verse 17, for in therein, therein, meaning in that good news, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I remember someone trying to make an interpretation that the gospel of Christ was not the gospel about Christ, they said. It was not the gospel about Christ, but the gospel of Christ, meaning the gospel that Christ preached. So it was not the gospel about Christ, it was the gospel of Christ, the one he preached. Well, let me ask you a question. If I said I was going to tell you the story of the Lone Ranger, okay? I want to tell you the story of the Lone Ranger. Am I telling you a story about the Lone Ranger, or am I telling you a story that the Lone Ranger told? The gospel of Christ is the gospel about Christ. Of course it is. Look at first, I'm not going to read all these verses, but here's Romans 15, verse 19. Paul talks about, I preach the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 12, he says he did not want to hinder the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 12, I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, he says, your confession, talks about the brethren, and your confession of the gospel of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 14, I came as far as you in the gospel of Christ. Galatians 1, verse 7, some want to distort the gospel of Christ. Philippians 1, verse 27, we conduct yourselves worthy of the gospel of Christ. And 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 2, Timothy, God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ. Is that the good news that Jesus only preached, or is it the good news concerning? And by the way, when Jesus preached the gospel, who do you think he was talking about? He's talking about himself. He was talking about who's the king. He was talking about him. He talked about how the scriptures referred to him. He talked about, you go and look at what the law and the prophets and all these people, they referred to me, he said. These are the things Jesus said. Now, in that gospel, as we read in Romans 1, verse 17, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It's all about what you believe in this. Remember, what did Jesus say? He came into Galilee. Mark 1, verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he said, the time is at hand. Repent and believe. What do you have to do? Believe this good news. Because in that good news is the righteousness of God, Paul says, revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, the righteous shall live by faith. In the same book, Romans chapter 3 now, dropping down to verse 21. This is again still the King James Version. But now the righteousness of God without the law or apart from the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Those are the two books, two great sections of the Old Testament. The righteousness of God is now, apart from the law, is manifested. It's made, is being revealed. It's being made plain, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of or in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, to all and upon all that of them that believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23. That's verse 22. Now verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. How do we receive this righteousness of God that is revealed from heaven? It's revealed from faith to faith. How do you receive it? For all who believe. For even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, upon all and to who all who believe. Because we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God, but God will make us righteous. He makes us righteous freely by His graciousness, His favor, His wonderful loving kindness and favor, which He does, He gives through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That gospel is, what do we call it? Good news. Is that good news for you? If you say my sins can be forgiven, if you say God can now make me righteous because He forensically make us righteous, He will look at us as righteous, He will clear us of our sins through Christ Jesus, even though we are not completely 100% righteous, God makes us righteous through faith in Christ. That's the good news. Think about this guy in the first century. If we had told him, the kingdom of God's not coming yet. It's not a long time. If you're talking about the time when Israel's made the top of the nations, hey, that ain't happening. We're over 2,000 years ahead of you, and we're way down the line. I'm going to tell you, there's no kingdom of God. In fact, is what we know from history, sir, you'll never believe it. You guys are all going to be conquered. The Roman army's going to come in here and sweep over. There's going to be the crosses that are going to lay the land where so many of you are going to be crucified, it's going to look like a forest of trees here. And Titus, the general from Rome, is going to wipe you out. He's going to starve Jerusalem until some of you are eating pigeon dung. Until some of your women will eat their own afterbirth. Until the Jews are going to suffer like almost no nation has ever suffered. That's what's going to happen. Now, the kingdom of God is not coming in your time, sir. It's not going to come for a long time. But if you knew the secret of what Jesus was talking about, you could, in a sense, just be transferred into the light, the glorious light of the gospel, and come under God's reign. When you come to Jesus Christ, you can come under God's reign, God's rule, God's kingdom, because you submit yourself. That's why Jesus said to us, who are Christians, who follow Him, give us this day our daily bread, lead us not into temptation. Your will be done. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Daily in our lives. Your kingdom come in my life. Come into my life. Rule over me. Make me your person. Make me what you want me to be. That's what it is. That's what the good news is, sir. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's not very good news to talk about a kingdom was more than 2,000 years and it still hadn't come. That's not good news. But it is very good news to understand that by God's graciousness, you have been called, invited, and chosen to be in God's ruling family as an adoption of sons. We're adopted as sons. We come into God's rule, God's family. He adopts us as children into His great family. First, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, He predestined us to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. He's got adoption of sons to Himself through Christ, according to the kind intention of His will. It's another way of saying grace. the kind intention of his will, his graciousness, his favors, his love, his mercies, to the praise of the glory of his grace. He's doing all this. And the praise goes to the glory of his grace. I mean, if you could put grace in emblazoned lights, that's what it means. The glory of his grace. The praise of to the glory of his grace, which he freely, without hesitation, freely, without charge, freely bestowed on us in the beloved, in Christ. See, Christ is the beloved. And God freely bestowed it without hesitation, without charge, without so many conditions other than faith. Freely bestowed on us. So he predestined us to the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ to himself. He's adopting us according to the kind intention of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. I mean, that is such a mouthful, such a powerful couple of verses, verses 5 and 6. That, brethren, is virtually the crux of the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom is when you can enter it, and you can only enter it as adoption of sons, changed into spirit, through faith to everyone that believes, through being righteous, through being sanctified by his spirit, through his wonderful grace, through his mercies, through his glories. That's the only way. That's the crux of the gospel. The gospel is not just knowing that a kingdom is coming and it's going to set up a world ruling government. Well, all the Jews knew that. That was plain from the Old Testament scriptures. But many people have thought that that's the gospel. What you've heard here in services after service after service is the gospel. There's a passage in the Bible that talked about our fellow worker, and I think he was referring to Timothy, who preaches the gospel in all the churches. Preaches the gospel. You say, well, why are you preaching the gospel? I knew an organization that said, well, we preach the gospel to those out there because they don't know about a world-ruling kingdom. And it is pathetic that so many people don't know the Bible. It is. But that's not the gospel. Just knowing that, just that, is not the gospel. You have to know far more than that to know what the good news. The good news is that God has chosen us at the adoption of sons. He's freely going to give us his grace. He's going to justify us freely by his grace for the redemption that is in Christ. He's going to bestow this grace on us freely to the praise and glory. He's adopting us to the praise and glory of his grace. That's what we're talking about. You know, when the Apostle Paul was asking the churches in 2 Corinthians there, in the area of Corinth, and he wrote this in the 2 Corinthians, he talks about their gracious work, you know, in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 19, he's saying, and not only, that you and I, that's why we have to be gracious. We have to be gracious, because God is gracious. God gives us his graciousness. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 19. And not only this, but he has also been appointed by the churches. He's talking about some of those people that are going to pick it up. He's been appointed by the churches to travel with us in this gracious work, which is being administered by us for the glory of the Lord himself and to show our readiness. Paul said this is a really wonderful thing for the churches, the Gentile churches, to do, to make this collection, to make this donation of food, of other things, so we can take this back to Jerusalem and give it to these poor people who are barely subsisting because the other Jews won't trade with them, the poor Jews in Jerusalem, the poor saints. I want to take it back. It was the money given by the Corinthians to the Jerusalemites. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, you'll see what Paul calls it here. And God, this is 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. In other words, it's the increase of the worldly goods that God grants for charitable purposes. If your increase goes, you can be generous, you can be gracious, you can be bountiful. And Paul says, if this church sending all these things, he says, and God is able, notice that phrase, God is able to make all grace abound to you. All his favors, all his goodness, all his favor. It doesn't mean all unmerited pardon. That's not what he's talking about. All God's favors, all God's goodnesses abound to you. So you'll have plenty, you'll have sufficient for every good deed, and an abundance for every good thing. I just noticed, I saw a thing on, I think it was 60 Minutes, that millionaires, billionaires, these are all billionaires. They're all giving a million or so, half of their wealth. There's a movement for all these billionaires to give one half of their wealth for charitable things, for here in this nation and around the world, to try to help defeat cancer, defeat diseases in poor countries. They all feel that, yes, you know, as one man said, well, you know, now I had $1 billion. You know, it has to be a billion. And then they're asking people with a billion or more to give half. And one person quipped, he said, well, I'm going to have to take lessons on how to get along on $500 million. See if I can get along on that. But he's going to give half. Half. Would you give half your income? Would you, to help people? Well, these people are. Now, they're very wealthy. Now, they can afford half their income, right? They can. And they're still very rich. And guess what they will do with that riches? And, you know, there was Warren Buffett and Bill Gates and, you know, all these other, some of these guys. They're going to give half their income, half their wealth is going to charitable purposes. And guess what will happen after they give half their wealth? They'll be extremely wealthy in a very short time again. Because when you still have, let's say you were worth $10 billion and you give $5 billion of it away, you've got $5 billion. You know how much money $5 billion will make? Just you can't even imagine it. Just in a small little money market fund, right? So much money will come to you, some little investment, so much money. And these guys are all very wise in their investments. They're very shrewd, you know, they have businesses, and they will do very well. They will give it away, and they will be back to where they were in a very short time. But that's what he's talking about. God is able to make all grace abound to you. In Romans 15, in verse 15, he says, he wrote, I have written you quite boldly on some points, as if to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me. God gave me a grace. Now, you're going to see that grace is the office, Paul's office as an apostle. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. What am I? I'm the least of the apostles, he said. I'm not fit to be called an apostle, not because I wasn't a good character, but I persecuted God's church at first. I was blinded, I didn't know, and I made people blaspheme, and I wasn't fit. But God gave me his grace, and by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was not wasted on me because I worked hard. I worked harder than all of them, he said. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, he said this phrase, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. By the grace of God, by the grace God has given me, I laid the foundation. What is that grace God gave him? Made him an apostle, made him able to preach the gospel, made him go out and lay these foundations of some of these new people. And then he says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 2, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you. The stewardship of God's grace. The grace was his office. And he was the steward of that office. The steward, I'm in charge. I have to take care of God's grace, which was given to me for you. His apostleship was given to him for the service of the brethren. And then he says in Ephesians, let me read that in the New International Version. That's the New American. I'll read it in a couple of other versions. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That's the New International Version. And in verse 7, New International Version, Ephesians 3, verse 7, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. The gift of God's grace, I became a servant of the gospel. The good news, I became a servant of explaining this good news, this time when we can be justified by faith, this time when God's favor will come over us, this time of the forgiveness of sins, this time of the inviting of us to be adoption of sons, to enter his kingdom, all of that is by God's grace. What you've heard this morning, what we read together, what you looked at in your Bible was indeed the good news. We'll talk more about that in the next sermon.